we turn to look deeper into God's word, let's pray. Father, as we look into your word, just help us. Seal the truths of it on our hearts. Jesus' name. Amen. Most of us hate cheats. Whether it be in the Olympics when we find our running heroes such as Ben Johnson finishing first in the 100 metres, was actually drugged. He'd relied on drugs to win. When we hear that, we feel betrayed, hurt. When our heroes have been beaten by someone, acting illegally, or at least supposedly so, as has been alleged in the UFC recently, where an Australian fighting for the world title was beaten by someone that people are saying he used a drip to recover from the weigh-in, where he'd had to lose so much water to make the weight. That's illegal in the UFC to do that. And led to one person losing, if that's true. Or what about the golf course? At one of Donald Trump's clubs recently, he'd missed the first round of the club championship due to a funeral, but turned up to the second and final round on the Sunday with a 5-shot lead. He claimed to have hit a stunning round on Thursday that would count, and ended up winning it. But this is not the first occasion where he's won club championships in iffy circumstances. In fact, there's a book detailing how Donald Trump has won so many club championships. It's called Commander in Cheat. It includes the one that he won the year before the golf course opened, so no one else could play. Yep, along with several very dodgy stories. There was one happier one. He was playing a 15-year-old and was 4 shots up with 5 to play. These 4 shots included 2 rules violations that were for borderline offences where Donald Trump had claimed the hole, in line with his general behaviour on the golf course. But when the 15-year-old heard Trump start patronising him, saying he'd played well, he was annoyed the match wasn't over, and went on to prove it. He won 4 of the next 5 holes to tie the match, won the playoff hole. Apparently Donald Trump just about managed to shake his hand. We love it when a cheat gets his comeuppance, and generally dislike the people who do cheat. However, in the passage today, we will read of Isaac and his 2 sons, one Esau who hunts game, and the other Jacob, whose name means deceiver, and whose actions often reflect this. Yet God chooses Jacob over Esau. He chooses the one who cheats, the one who, as we'll see, deceives his brother, father, takes his birthright from his brother, as the one from whom his people will come. It seems an odd choice. Yet we also will see some of the reasons as we go. We'll see some of what matters to God. The passage starts by looking at Isaac, the son of Abraham, and his wife. Isaac married when he was 40, and we find in his life a theme that should be familiar to us. His wife, Rebecca, was barren. Like Sarah, Abraham's wife, Rebecca was barren and could not conceive, could not fulfill her role in giving birth to children. Eventually, after 20 years, Isaac prays for her, and God answers. She has to wait 20 years to bear children. as seems to happen in some of the most important births throughout the Bible. Now, there isn't the drama before this birth that there was for Isaac's. There are no extra children born to maidservants, and God constantly having to assure them that the child's coming. It's a very simple account. Isaac prays, God answers. It's still God that opens Rebecca's womb, and they recognize his hand in it, as Isaac prays and they see God act. We don't get such clear responses to prayers all the time, and often waiting or not receiving answers is difficult. But it's important when we do that we acknowledge that God's answered, that we see his hand in it, so that we expect him to answer in the future, to protect us and be in our lives. And that's what Rebecca does. Now, Rebecca's got some issues. She's got twins. She can feel something's funny as she can feel them fighting with each other in her womb. But she doesn't know what's happening. It's her first pregnancy. She probably doesn't realize it's twins. They're not the doctors or the clinics around us today to tell her. But she goes to a much better source to tell her what she needs to know. She goes to God with this and asks in 25 verse 22. The babies jostled each other within her, and she said, why is this happening to me? So she went to inquire of the Lord. She knows that God's enabled her to conceive, to give birth, and so responds by going to him with the question, asking him what is going on. And it's a model for all of us in developing relationship with God. She has a God who provides. So rather than get her husband to talk to him, she does so herself. And she gets answers. Verse 23. The Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger. Rebecca gets an explanation, a complicated explanation. Most of us like answers to be simple, to be answers that provide a clear future and no conflict. But that is not what God promises here. God says there's two different people in Rebecca's womb, that she has twins that will become nations. Now, twins is normally great news, and also the fact that they'll become nations, especially if you're prepared and they can survive the birth. But here, there's no question. They'll survive the birth, but there'll be conflict. There are two different competing nations that will come from them. They'll be in conflict. Now, for parents, conflict between children always causes problems. And we can see this in relationships, perhaps the most blatant recently, the royal family, where apparently Charles has just thrown Andrew and his 72 teddy bears out of Buckingham Palace. There are problems there. And yet, this is what God says will happen. Here, there will be conflict. He's predicting this. It will happen. And when it does, Rebecca will know that he's in control. We're not told whether she told Isaac this, probably, but we're not told. However, as God says, twins are born, and their birth shows how their lives will be. There are twins. The first was red, hair across his body, and was named after his redness. Esau means hairy. The second was grasping at his heel, wanting all that the firstborn was supposed to get, and was named Jacob, that can mean deceiver or grasping. The two twins were born, and while they were born, their interests were different. Esau became a hunter. Well, Jacob lived quietly, staying mostly among the tents. And we also read that the family's not so strong as it should be. The parents are divided. Verse 28. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Isaac, who loved what Esau provided, loved the wild game that Esau's hunting produced, loved Esau. But Rebekah loved Jacob. We're not told why. It could be Jacob was around spending time with her. It could be Rebekah had heard God's prophecy and taken it to heart. She knew Jacob would be the one from whom the family of God would come. But the parents had favorites and were divided in who they liked. And parents having favorites leads to conflicts. And just as I mentioned the royal family's problems being lived out in public, that's what we see for Isaac's family. That's what we see for Esau and Jacob. Esau comes in from hunting famished, sees Jacob cooking stew, wants some of it, and asks his brother. For him, his stomach's what's important. But Jacob responds, seeing an opportunity, verse 31. First, sell me your birthright. Esau's asking for a simple plate of food, and Jacob asks for the birthright. The birthright that he lost as Esau came first out of the womb, despite him desperately trying to get out. The birthright that also claims God's promises and blessing. And Esau, rather than giving a straight no, just over-dramatizes the situation. He makes a drama of it that it isn't. Verse 32. Look, I'm about to die, Esau said. What good is the birthright to me? Esau looks at the here and now, at how his stomach desires food and forgets eternal things. Does not consider who God is, what God wants for him. Puts his passions, his desires in the moment over what really matters. And Jacob obliges. He insists Esau swears first, maybe thinking Esau might think better of it afterwards, and throw something really valuable away. For a piece of food? If Esau was thinking straight, maybe he wouldn't have. But Esau was going with his passions, his desires. Jacob then gives him the stew, probably only too keen to seal his side of the promise. After all, the firstborn in Israel got two portions for the family property, to one for all the others. So a piece of lentil stew. Plus even a meaty stew, but a vegetarian one. For doubling his inheritance. And take all that belongs to the firstborn. It was a steal. Jacob cheated his brother. Yet the author's comments, not on Jacob, his behavior speaks for itself. It's on Esau, verse 34. So Esau despised his birthright. The author's not as concerned about Jacob's behavior as Esau's. Esau looks at the world, at the here and now, at what his eyes see, and wants that ahead of his birthright. He does not think about what really matters. Now, Jacob's behavior is certainly not ideal here. He'll get his comeuppance later. We'll see God dealing with Jacob and teaching him that character matters next week. But at least Jacob values his family, all they give him. Jacob gets that. He values his birthright in a way Esau does not. Then famine hits. Isaac goes to Gerar, where Abraham describes Sarah as his sister, and God appears to him. They're saying to stay in the land that he's promised to give to his descendants, because God will be with him there. And then repeats the promises that God made to Abraham, to Isaac, that he will give these lands to his descendants and make them as numerous as the stars in the sky, before finishing in 26 verse 4, through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed, because Abraham obeyed me and kept my requirements, my commands, my decrees and my laws. Now, we saw Abraham's trust and obedience, that he believed God and God credited it to him as righteousness. It was a credit Abraham very much needed, given some of his behaviour, like producing Ishmael with a maidservant, saying his wife was his sister rather than trusting God, and so on and so on. But we also saw Abraham grew in trust of God during his life. And here, God is pointing towards how Abraham's credited with righteousness, because from his line, his offspring, comes Jesus, who brings salvation to everyone who believes by dying on the cross for all the times we ignore, we reject God, for all the times we go our own way, because Jesus, as our righteous King, can die in our place, that we might have his righteousness. That's the ultimate hope that God points Isaac to. It's the ultimate hope that we share in as we look forward to the kingdom of God, to Jesus returning. But in the meantime, as the people of God, as those who trust in Jesus, we will experience God's protection now. As we see in Isaac's life, Isaac scared by the surrounding peoples. Like his father, rather than trust God with his safety, decides to say Rebekah is his sister. Now, given the way some of Abimelech's men treat his wells, they were clearly scary. So there might be some reason for him to be scared. But he's not trusting God with his safety. However, the king has memories of his father and sees them together tenderly, taking them up on it and instructing his men, "Do not touch them, otherwise we'll be in trouble with God as we were before." Again, God in small ways looks after them. And again with crops and livestock, God blesses them, so much so that the king asks them to move away, and later comes back seeking a treaty, because, as with Abraham, God's hands on Isaac. And Abimelech can see it. Isaac's blessed by God, and Abimelech wants part of it. This is even demonstrated by his ability to find wells, to find water. That happens even the day of the treaty. To find a well that brings life. Yet, the passage then goes on to talk about Esau's marriages in verse 34. When Esau was 40 years old, he married Judith, daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and also Basmath, daughter of Eli the Hittite. They were a source of grief to Isaac and Rebekah. Esau married into the surrounding peoples. Precisely what Abraham made sure Isaac did not do. He got two wives from the surrounding nations, the nations that their bad behavior would lead to God's judgment on them and them being destroyed, allowing Isaac's descendants to take the land. Again, Esau met his desires, his lusts, rather than thinking about what really matters about God. And this leads us on to Isaac's blessing. which Isaac wants to give to his firstborn, to Esau, that brings him such tasty meat? Despite the prophecy given to Rebekah that the older will serve the younger, despite Esau's marriages. So Isaac sends Esau out to get some of the wild game that he loves. Yet Rebekah overhears it, makes up some tasty meat from goats, just as Isaac likes it, gets Jacob to bring it to him, wearing Esau's clothes, even placing goat skins to cover the smooth part of his skin around his neck and arms. And Jacob goes to Isaac pretending to be Esau. Isaac's suspicious, but ultimately gives him the blessing that's expressed in 27, verse 28. May God give you of heaven's dew and of earth's richness, an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you, and peoples bow down to you. Be lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed. This is what it is to be part of the people of God. We're part of the family that will ultimately be blessed by God. Those who bless us will receive good things from God. Those who curse us, bad things. It does not mean it will be a smooth existence all the time, as Jacob's life will show. But it does mean that we'll be under God's protection. Now, in this sad episode, there's one time when someone stands up for God. We've seen the sin, the bad behavior, the lack of faith in God. Yet Isaac will not give the blessing to his older son. Isaac will not give the blessing to the younger son, despite it being clear that he's the one to inherit. Rebekah, seeing what God wants to do, deceitfully gets Jacob to cheat his older brother out of it. The ends do not justify the means. These means are totally wrong. And they lead to her being separated from her favorite son for years. Jacob, following his mother's suggestion, deceiving his father. Even Esau's reaction, having received a blessing of sorts, but not the blessing he wanted, of wanting to kill Jacob. All these miss what really matters to God, which is character. And while Jacob and Rebekah seek God's blessing on Jacob, they seek what matters by the wrong means and will suffer for it. Yet the one person who ultimately gets it is Isaac. As much as he's clearly angry, he trembles when the deception is uncovered. Isaac understands that while people acted in bad character, God's hand was on this, that Jacob would be blessed. I blessed him, and indeed he will be blessed. Isaac sees that God's in control, despite people. Isaac professes his trust, his faith in God, and God's blessing on his son. Esau had consistently run to the world, not considering what God wanted, and ended up not getting the blessing he wanted. Jacob, for all his flaws, got the blessing that he was so desperate to receive, because he knew ultimately what matters is what God gave him. Yes, as we'll see, God will bring Jacob to a realization of his flaws, that character matters, to a realization of his need for God's mercy, for salvation to represent God in his life. But despite Jacob's behavior, he did get what mattered far more than Esau. And it asks, do we value eternal things over the things of this world? Do we value Jesus, his death, his resurrection, the grace and mercy he gives us above what the world offers? and seek to live out of that with eternity as our goal? Because that's what it means to be one of God's people. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you that Jesus has come, that when we go our own way, you grant us mercy because of Jesus. And we ask that we'll live our lives out of that as your forgiven people representing you, Father. That we get what matters is what you've done for us. Jesus' name. Amen.